HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands. And guess what? One of us actually did have a view from the stands this week. As I record this podcast from Chepauk on what should have been the fifth day of the second test. And what a test it was while it lasted. Where Ravichandran Ashwin basically out-batted, out-bowled, out-fielded and bloody well out-thought England to almost single-handedly level the four-match series and keep India in the reckoning for a place in the World Test Championship final. I say almost single-handedly because Rohit Sharma struck possibly his finest test century in the first innings. Finest test century yet, I must add, given just how much of a career he has left in front of him and given how much the ball was spinning and bouncing from the very first day on this Chepauk surface, which is a proper test match pitch, if you ask me. So let's get on with it, as my co-host Rudra and I have a lot to discuss, including Akshar Patel's brilliant debut and the superbly curated pitch, which is much maligned by the ever-complaining former cricketers from England. So I turn to Rudra for his opening thoughts, as we always do. Rudra.
Thank you, Aditya. And of course, there's, as like you pointed out, so much to talk about, starting from the pitch to Akshar Patel's debut, to Ashwin's insane heroics at his home ground. And in the middle of that, I just got the feeling that, you know, Rohit Sharma's century, just people plain forgot that it even happened.
You know?
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So all of that, let's talk about that. But I just wanted to ask you before we get on to that, because for us, it's been like a whole year without actually being in a sporting arena. And as sports journalists, it's a big gap in our lives, right? Not being able to actually watch athletes live, or even in training, or any of the situations that we find ourselves in so frequently, suddenly taken away from us. And now we were doing everything just watching screens, TV screens, phones, and writing about that.
Yeah.
So, and finally it's happened. So, you know, like you said, you actually had a view from the stands. What did that feel like? Did that feel like a big release after so many months of not being able to watch live sports?
Yeah, we were just all like really, really happy. At least, I mean, I can talk about the journalists because that's who I interacted with right through the course of this test match. We were just happy people, man, to firstly watch sport, like you said, to watch good sport, that too. Because, you know, this kind of test cricket, the test cricket that India has been playing for a while behind closed doors, has been some of the best test cricket in a very long time by any team in the world, right? Like what we've done in Australia.
Absolutely.
Just before coming here, that first test in Chennai, this test in Chennai, my God, like it's just been a real pleasure to watch, even on the TV, but you know that it can never be replicated or replace live sport, as David Foster Wallace once said about, you know, the true human feeling versus watching porn. That's precisely what this is, right? So we were there, we were watching some fabulous test match cricket. It happened to be in Chennai, where the local boy just absolutely destroyed it, which made it even better because there were just 15,000 seats available for the public. They were obviously all taken up. Every single one of those seats was occupied the stretch of those 4 days. And all of them were Ravichandran Ashwin fans, right? So it really felt like there were 30, 35, 40,000 plus people in that ground, especially when, you know, when every time Ashwin came on to bowl, or, you know, even when he was hitting his 100, Kohli happened to be in the vicinity. He batted with him for a while, and he was also, you know, in the among the closing fielders when Ashwin was bowling, and he would always rally the crowd. And yeah, that was just special. It was special for them too to have the crowd back, but the way Kohli completely utilized that crowd was fabulous. Goosebumps.
He's always been very good at that, right? That's his wonderful showman aspect of Kohli when he's rallying crowds or he's speaking to crowds. He's very good at speaking to large volumes of people.
Absolutely.
And let's not, you know, really, there's nothing much to discuss about the fact that COVID protocols were completely disregarded at the ground. Nobody was wearing a mask. There was no social distancing. You know, even though there were 15,000 people, you said that it looked like 40,000. That's partly because everybody was crowded into one space and on top of each other. So
that's true.
Yes. So I mean, so let's disregard that. Having said that, but I wanted to ask you what in terms of, you know, Ashwin performed brilliantly with the ball and then scored an amazing century with the bat. What did the crowd react to more? Was it his bowling or batting? What got the crowd more excited?
Oh, it was definitely the batting because, you know, Ashwin is a technically very adept batsman, right? And he was playing all kinds of T20 cricket shots in a test match at home that really got the crowd going. I mean, he walked in at 106 for 6 in the second innings. The second ball he faced was by Moeen Ali because, you know, Ali had just gotten Akshar Patel out. And on this pitch where, you know, any kind of horizontal batted shot is not the easiest to pull off. You saw how Root got out in the first innings. Ashwin went for a sweep and he never sweeps, even spoke about it, to the square leg boundary. A ball later, he reverse swept. In fact, it was a reverse lap of Moeen Ali to get 4 more runs, which went over the short fine leg fielder's head. And that was it. I mean, the crowd pretty much never turned their decibel level down after that.
Right. And also, the other thing I was very curious about is that, you know, Ashwin spoke very eloquently about, right after the match, about using the conditions, about his vast repertoire, about how he uses his variations, how he uses the breeze, the direction of the wind, the pitch, all of those things. And one thing that interested me is that he kept saying that, you know, I'll change my load up according to what the conditions are. And it occurred to me that I don't really understand what that means when he says, I'm going to change my load up. So can you explain that to me a little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But before we talk about his load up, I had one question for you. So could you tell me if this noise and this frenzy that I'm talking about, was it evident on the television screen back in Delhi?
Funnily, no. I think part of the blame lies with, I'm not going to say blame, but part of the reason being that, there was this fake audio of crowds that was being used, that is still being used for most sporting activities. And that kind of lulls the brain into believing that there's a crowd when there isn't one.
That's right.
So when the crowd was actually there, it didn't feel that much different, except for, of course, that, you know, sometimes the camera would pan to the crowd and we'd all get a bit of a shock seeing that nobody was wearing a mask and everybody was screaming and shouting so close to each other. And then we'll talk about how there'll be no contact tracing and, you know, and things like that, all the new normal stuff that we do now. And then it would seem normal, you know, so for us, it didn't make that much of a difference on the screen.
Okay, fine. All right. So, yeah, with your question on the load up, basically a pitch like this was doing so much right from the beginning for the spinners, right? So, which means natural variation as the pitch wears and tears, and the wear and tear was happening quickly. The ball is going to do a lot from the surface itself. But because Ashwin is Ashwin, and not just because he was playing in Chennai, say this pitch was in Hyderabad, he would have done the same thing. He wanted to add a little more of the variation from the bowler's part also on the pitch to make it twice as difficult for the batsman, right? Because every time you start getting a slight read on the pitch, which itself is a little difficult on a wicket like this because it's wearing as quickly as it was in the second test, you can't really get a read of it. But say the batsman did, Ashwin was like, wait, you can't take me for granted. Because whatever the pitch is doing, I'm going to do a little more. And the way you do that is, of course, by your variations in how the ball is released, right? It can either be an off spinner or a top spinner, or, if you're a leg break bowler, then a googly. With Ashwin, there's the arm ball because he's an off spinner, right? There's the straighter one. Apart from that, also the speed of the ball. So basically, he said sometimes he would run in faster. And in the load up is basically your point of release from your hand,
right,
where you release it, right? So the load up decides where you release the ball and how you release it. So by changing the load up, by making his arm a little more rounder, a little more straighter, a little more fuller, he just had the batsman guessing all the time. And you saw it worked, right? Like they absolutely did not have a read on him. Like when he set Stokes up, like when he basically just ran through the top order in the second innings immediately after his 100. You could see that every single ball, his run-up was a little different. He was trying different things. And like his arm didn't release the ball from the same position twice too often.
Right. Yeah. So that's how it changes it. So it's the point of release. It's the way you're running up. It's obviously the speed, also the way you're gripping the ball.
And the point of the release, speed of both. Yes.
Yeah. So I saw the way Ben Stokes was being set up with, you know, with balls coming in at around 90 kilometers per hour for about three or four balls and, you know, and turning with the pitch. And then suddenly you had that one ball, which was 10 kilometers slower. It was drifting. Yeah. It was a little bit pitched up and then it didn't move at all. It didn't turn at all. And, you know, and obviously Stokes did not expect it not to turn. So he played with the turn.
Correct.
And got... caught. So, great bowling. What about Akshar's debut? I mean, we seem to be, the depth of our bowling attack right now, we've spoken so much about fast bowlers and the depth of our fast bowling right now. And what a wonderful decision it was, because I remember we spoke about this just before the test on our podcast, that maybe it was time to give Jasprit Bumrah a rest, you know, have the courage to do that and play somebody like Mohammad Siraj on a pitch like this, which where, you know, because he moves the ball more, he's got more swing in the air, you know, he's probably going to be better suited. And Bumrah needs a rest. He bowls almost continuously for India. And that's exactly what happened. We saw Siraj. And so my point is that every time one of our bowlers makes a debut, it's a brilliant debut. So they can do no wrong. And partly that's to do with, of course, the team selection. To put Akshar in this situation, in this match, on this pitch, was a brilliant move from the captain to the team management. And he had a wonderful debut. So, so now we have the depth and spin as well. You've got Washington Sundar, you've got, for slightly faster pitches, which doesn't move so much. You know, he has a more Ravindra Jadeja style of bowling. Yeah. Jadeja, of course, when he comes back. So, lots of choices, right? For every kind of condition, we've got somebody. So your thoughts, you saw Akshar bowling. I mean, how well was he using the conditions as compared to, say, Ashwin? Of course, he got 5 wickets, but what are the nuances behind that?
Oh, yeah. So very, very different bowler to Ashwin, of course. He was very clear in the fact that he was just basically bowling stump to stump and allowing the pitch to do as much on the ball as it could. All he had to do was basically just hit the right spots. I've been a very big Akshar Patel fan for a long time now, you know, just waiting for him to get his chance in Test cricket, because I always thought he would do well. Kohli also said that Akshar actually would have played the first test had he not picked up a niggle on a day just before the test match was to start. So they played Shahbaz Nadeem instead. Right. And, we know it didn't go down too well. Akshar is a very, very different left-arm spinner from Shahbaz. I mean, he's much taller. He's much quicker. And Ashwin constantly spoke about why pace on a wicket like this is really important, right? And Akshar has like natural pace because of his height and from like the point of release and the angle at which it comes at the batsman. He was terrific. And of course, you know, with a very helpful pitch as well. Also, Akshar is a left-arm spinner and we all know how crucial left-arm spinners are in India, especially in the second innings. We saw that in Jack Leach in the first test where he picked up 4 wickets in the second innings. We saw Jadeja basically make a career out of this, right? Like in the second innings, you toss the ball to him and he makes sure that things happen. Right. Patel, unfortunately, has a moniker, as people tend to call him, which is a bit rude, I think, but they tend to call him a poor man's Jadeja because he does everything it's not a bad thing to be known as, because Jadeja is quite a great cricketer. But, you know, everything Jadeja does, he does almost as well, right? Like, he's not nearly there. Right. Jadeja bats beautifully. Akshar bats beautifully too, but not as well as Jadeja. Jadeja bowls beautifully and fields, you know, he's possibly the best fielder in the world. Akshar fields amazingly too, but not as well as Jadeja, right? But I hope now he cleaves apart from Jadeja's shadow a little bit. Both of them are from the state of Gujarat as well, where the series is now heading. That performance in the second innings, because we tend to take it for granted because of how amazing Jadeja is in the second innings in India. We saw that it doesn't always happen. You can have a great left-arm spinner, and Shahbaz Nadeem truly is a great left-arm spinner. Make no mistake, right? He's been around for so long. He's taken all those wickets in first-class cricket. That's not easy. But what Shahbaz's presence in the first test showed us was you can't take those second innings wickets for granted just because you're a left-arm spinner. And with Akshar back, you know, right from ball one, the first over that he bowled to Joe Root in the first innings, where he induced an edge, and then a ball later, he made it spin past his bat. You know, it was very similar to second innings conditions in any case, that first innings. We knew that this guy was a find. Like, you know, he just looked great, on the mark from ball one. And yeah, with him, you could take it for granted in the second innings that he was going to take a bunch of wickets. He took five. He took five.
Which clearly also says something about what you said, about this whole complaining about conditions and pitches and things like that. And that's kind of reductive talk. It's not the conditions. You need to work those conditions. You need to be able to work with that pitch. And I agree with you that this was a great test match pitch, as good as, say, I mean, like, you know that I love fast bowling, and I love green top pitches with huge bounce and lots of speed, and the ball reversing in the air is kind of my dream in a test match. But this is, I think, just on the opposite spectrum from that, but equally challenging and equally wonderful to watch. Makes for great, compelling viewing, and English fans complaining constantly about how bad the pitch is. Just needs to look at what Rohit Sharma did, what Ashwin did with the bat, what Virat Kohli did with the bat.
Ajinkya Rahane.
Ajinkya Rahane too. So, I mean, so it's not like you can't bat on that pitch. You can bat on that pitch. You scored like a lot of runs. we had a 400 plus target for them. So, need to be able to work with that pitch as a bowler as well. Which is what Akshar did, which is what Ashwin did, which is what Jack Leach couldn't do, for example.
A fabulous test match pitch that was abused by not just the English fans, but the English pundits, the former cricketers, a lot of whom are pundits. One former captain called it a stinker of a wicket. Another called it a disgrace. A third, who's knighted recently, I swear, and this is what he said, I quote, he said, "This pitch is not good because it's spinning too much." I mean, firstly, that's a really dull line. Your portal is paying you to kind of be a little,
more interesting
than that. And maybe give a little more insight. Yeah, it was spinning a lot. But as Ravi Chandran Ashwin so beautifully put it in the press conference, before he got his 100, by the way, after he got his first innings 5-4, he implied, he didn't say it in as many words, but he implied that just because England didn't score runs on the wicket doesn't make it a bad wicket, right? And then he kind of like opened up Ravi Chandran Ashwin manual of batting on this wicket. He even helped them out. He said, what you have to do is treat it like a swimming wicket and be really patient, right? Tide through the opening few overs. And then once you're over it, and once you're not very scared of the wicket, then you got to like make it count. He said all of this. Who could have gone like, it's very easy for you to say all these things because you're a bowler and, you don't understand how difficult it is for batsmen. He walked in at number 8 and basically silenced all those critics with that 100.
Yeah.
After that, you can't criticize this pitch anymore. It's pretty much what Ashwin said. He said, it's not a one-sided win, right? My 5 wickets in the first innings and 8 in the test match weren't bought because of the kind of wicket that we have tailored. None of that. I batted, you guys couldn't. Now, I'm a bowler, for God's sake, who walks in at number 8 and hits the century. Now, what can you say after that, right? He basically silenced them.
Oh, what a wonderful year this is turning out to be for Ashwin. He's not had the best of seasons for a couple of seasons. So it's amazing to see him back in this form. And I wish he would work on his fitness a little bit more because, I think that's the one little thing where he misses out a bit is that, his body doesn't tend to hold up too well to to the rigors of test cricket. But so looking forward to the next two tests in Ahmedabad, what's your prediction like? Does England still have a chance with Joe Root and Ben Stokes? I think you can never count them out. But after this performance, does it look like they'll offer too much of a fight?
I think they'll certainly offer a fight because they're a very, very, very good test team. I honestly can't remember the last time a team this good came to India. Forget the mauling that they received in the second test. Right. They did compete and they will compete again. Even the series, I know there weren't too many common players between the 2016 series and the one now in 2021. But although England got thrashed in that one in the scoreline, they did compete right throughout, even in the fifth, like all the way up to the fifth test, right? Like they were scoring more than 400 runs in the first innings and still losing by an innings because of just how good India is. I mean, that's what it's a reflection of. Yeah. It really doesn't show, England as a bad team. I think they're a fabulous team. They fought so hard in the first test and they won it. The conditions are completely going to change in Motera. This is the first test match that's ever going to be held there. In fact, this is the first international cricket match that's going to be held on that central square after, the stadium was refurbished and it became the 100,000 seater, whatever it is now. We have to wait and see. And also the conditions are quite dramatically different in a pink ball test in any case, which the third test is.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So, never rule this team out. I mean...
It slipped my mind that the third test is a pink ball test. This is going to change everything.
Yeah, so the ball's going to reverse very early on. They have Jimmy Anderson coming back in.
Right.
Possibly Jofra Archer too. You know, the series is not over at all.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing for those keeping count of points for the World Test Championships as well. Because I really do think it's going to go down to the wire. But by the end of the third test in Ahmedabad, one of India, England or Australia are going to be knocked out for sure. So we're going to know who the last two teams are going into the fourth test. It could well not be India, but we, of course, don't ever hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. So ping pong test, last final quick question for you. What do you see in terms of India's team selection? Is there going to be a change? Bumrah, I think, is definitely going to come back in.
Sure.
But apart from that, do you see any other changes?
I don't actually. I think Kohli is actually going to stick with a winning team for the first time in so long. You know, it was one of the pet grouses against Kohli, if I may put it that way.
Yeah, of course.
Where he just kept changing a winning squad when he was winning so heavily in 2015, 2016 at home. But I don't think that's such a bad thing because, you know, you're basically just blooding in as many people as you can. It's a big reason why we have the reserve that we do now. The reason why something like Brisbane happened. All these guys did get like a little taste of international cricket here and there because of Kohli. Now it's paying off. So, but
I
back to your question, I think we might see the same playing 11. I think the only reason why that may not happen, I'm basically thinking aloud here, is because of what you mentioned, right? Because of Bumrah. Yeah. Bumrah has to come back, I think.
Right.
So he might come back in Siraj's place. And it's going to be the same 11 as Chennai minus Siraj.
Absolutely. Wonderful talking to you, Aditya. And, we'll be back again when the next test is on. And, you know, keeping our fingers crossed that India makes it to the World Test Championship final.
Ah, fabulous. Good to speak to you too, Rudra. And catch you after the first of two Ahmedabad tests. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on @HTSmartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Miles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.